A couple of weeks ago, we approached the subject about God, Jehovah, Yahweh, blessing us. I didn't finish that message. Had intended on finishing it last week. And so maybe I'll finish it today. So we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And I want you to receive this as a blessing, because the Lord wants to bless his children. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'May Yahweh bless you and protect you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh look with favor on you and give you peace.' In this way, they will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them." You may be seated. If you remember from our discussion a couple of weeks ago, we talked about us as Christians, those who've received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, have been adopted into the family of God. We have been grafted into the tribe of Israel, and so the blessings that are pronounced over the Israelites are also blessings that the Lord wants to pronounce over us. Now, you need to understand this. The Lord Jehovah God, Yahweh, the covenant maker. That's the name of the covenant making God, a covenant maker to you and to me. He says, "I want to bless you. My desire is to bless my children. My heart is to bless my children." He wants to bless us. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have children? How many of you want your children to be blessed? How many of you want them to be cursed? Good for you. No hands that time. So I was just seeing if you were listening. God wants to bless his children. He wants to bless you. What Father blesses, no one can curse. What Father blesses, no one can curse. I want to share with you an account of in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 22 and 23. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to tell you. So the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and they were moving into the promised land. In order to get to the promised land, they had to go through different tribes, different nations in order to get there, in order to occupy the territory. They came to the land of the Canaanites, and they were able to take over cities, cause destruction. And they went into the Amorites and was able to conquer that city. And then they came to the Ammonites, and the king of Ammon, whose name was Balak, is very fearful. I mean, here come millions of people. They've already conquered nations for them. And King Balak is kind of nervous. But because he had not only seen what had happened to the other nations and the other cities and the rampage that had taken place through the Israelites, but he knew of the promises of God and them escaping Egypt, and he needed something. He needed help. He needed a miracle. So he sent an entourage to a prophet named Balaam. And he told Balaam, "Balaam, I want you to come, and I need you to come, and I need you to curse Israel." And Balaam said, "Well, I'm going to have to pray about that." And so Balaam said, "Give me, just stick around in the morning. I'll tell you what the Lord tells me. Because I can't do anything except what the Lord tells me." And so he goes before the Lord and he prays and he asks the Lord, "Lord, should I go curse Israel?" And God said, "No, don't curse Israel." So Balaam goes back to the princes or the entourage, and he tells them, God said I can't go, and so not going to be able to curse Israel. And so the entourage goes back to Balak, and says to the king, he's not coming. And Balak says, well, go offer him some more money. And I'm going to send greater princes, a greater entourage, to coax him to come and curse Israel. So they sent him. And so when they came before Balaam again, Balaam's like, man, more money? Greater entourage? I better pray about this again. And so he goes before the Lord. Have you ever wanted something so badly? That you were willing to convince the Lord that your way was better than his way. Yeah, we could probably all tell stories, myself included. So Balaam goes, he says, well, you know what? The Lord says, Balaam, go ahead. It's what your heart's wanting to do. Go ahead. And so Balaam's like, all right, guys, I'm coming with you. I just want you to know, though, that I can only do what God tells me to do. So he gets on his donkey. He starts going toward this King Balak and the Moabites. And as he's traveling, all of a sudden that donkey gets off the path and just starts running over across the field. And Balaam starts whipping his donkey and man, get back on the trail. Okay? And then he comes to this narrow path where there's two walls and the donkey all of a sudden, we used to have a horse. It was we called him Sputnik. It was a little Shetland pony. And he was the meanest thing. He was just tall enough to go under a swing set bar. And he didn't want you on there. He would go right under that swing set and knock you off. Okay? And this donkey was, he crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, but it's very painful. And man, Balaam was just fit to be tied. He was upset. He started beating his donkey again. And then they go on further down the road, and there was this passageway that was so narrow that, let me just tell you what was happening. There was an angel in the way. The donkey saw the angel. And the angel was ready to kill Balaam. Okay? And so the third time what happened was the angel was in this path and the donkey couldn't get around him, so he just laid down on the ground. And Balaam was upset, so he took his rod and he just started beating the donkey. And the donkey said, why are you beating me? I've always been a good donkey. That's a remarkable thing for an animal to talk. But then another remarkable thing was that Balaam started answering him. Like it wasn't a surprise. And so he says, well, you crushed my foot. You ran off in the field and now you are laying down. And the donkey says, look, there's an angel about to kill you and I was protecting you. And Balaam's like, I'm only going to do what God tells me to do. Okay? And so he goes to this land of Moab. And the king says, okay, I'm going to offer some sacrifices. We're going to offer sacrifices here. And after we offer the sacrifices, I want you to curse Israel. Well, he offered the sacrifices. And Balaam, rather than cursing Israel, he blesses him. And Balak was mad. He said, let's go to a different place. So he offered some more sacrifices. Said, Balaam, I want you to curse Israel. And he said, so Balaam got up to curse Israel, and out of his mouth came blessings. And so Balak says, the third time's the charm. Well, let's do it one more time. And so they go and they make offer more sacrifices and ask Balaam to curse Israel. And he stands up and he didn't even go and pray about it this time. Okay? He didn't think about it. He just started blessing Israel. And this is what he says in Numbers chapter 6. I'm sorry, in Numbers 23:6-8. So Balaam returned, found the king standing beside his burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. And this was the message Balaam delivered. Balak summoned me to come from Aram, the king of Moab, brought me from the eastern hills. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come and announce Israel's doom. But how can I curse those whom God has cursed? Who has not cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord has not condemned? Did you know you can't curse what God has blessed? It's impossible to curse what God has blessed. This is a lesson that Balaam learned. You can't curse whom God has blessed. And you are a blessing. Scripture says that God has blessed you. And we may not forget that we're blessed people. It's easy to forget sometimes we're not blessed. I'm sorry, it's easy to forget that we are blessed, because when difficulties arise, it's like, God, where are the blessings? Being blessed doesn't mean you're not going to go through difficult times. Being blessed by God means that whatever difficulties we face, we don't have to face them alone. It also means that somehow God is going to bring good out of difficult situations. I want you to remember that you are blessed. The second thing I want you to understand is that every blessing comes from God. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. So every blessing you have is not because you created it. It's not because of your ingenuity. It's not because of your wisdom. It's not because of your might. It's not because of your power. It's because the Lord has blessed you. Every blessing that you've experienced comes from God. And you may brag about what you have, but you ought to be bragging on God, because He's the one who's given you those things. It's not by your own power. Now, you need to understand that if you're blessed, it's God who's blessed you. And every one of us are blessed. Now, here's what I'm not doing. I'm not promoting an American prosperity gospel. Okay? I'm not here, and I'm not naive enough to tell you that God just wants rainbows and jelly beans for you the rest of your life. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that He wants you to have large bank accounts. Our idea of what a blessing looks like and what God's idea of a blessing looks like may be two different things. The word bless literally means to kneel down and to serve. To kneel down and to serve. You may remember the account where Jesus went into the upper room the night before He was crucified, and He started washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, Jesus, don't. Now, usually this was left up to a slave to wash the feet. If you come through the sheep gate, you're going to have some sheep stuff on your feet. Okay? Maybe cow pies, maybe whatever you're going to have on your feet. And usually this is not the person, the owner of the home usually doesn't wash the feet. Okay? Usually the master doesn't wash the feet. This is left up to a slave. But Jesus, there was no one else to do it. And he, Scripture says that he came not to be served, but to serve. And so Jesus knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. When he got to Peter's feet, Peter said, "But Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me." And Peter said, "Well, Jesus, don't just wash my feet, wash my head and everything else." And Jesus told him, "Peter, all I need to do is wash your feet. All I need to do is..." See, Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. And when this word bless actually means that Jesus wants to serve you. Now, this does not mean that he's going to be your errand boy. Okay? That's not what it means. Jesus is not someone that you have authority over and that you can tell him what to do. He's not your slave. Don't anticipate Jesus jumping to attention every time you want something. However, Jesus is a companion to face any difficulty with. Scripture says that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus does, however, want to be in partnership with you. Okay? And when he's talking about serving, he wants to partnership with you in your ministry. He wants to partnership in your work. He wants to partnership with you in your business. He wants to partnership with you in every aspect of your life so that you can be blessed by him. Wouldn't it be great to have an all-wise partner to help you make wise decisions? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone who knew what's coming in the future so that he could prepare you? Because we don't know. Wouldn't it be wise? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of partner? Well, that's who Jesus wants to be. But we have to go before him. We have to make him our partner. We have to embrace him because he wants to be in your business. Okay? He wants to be in your business. And you say, "Well, I don't want him in my business." Well, I would suggest that you let him in your business. That's going to be the best thing for you. To bless, to serve. That's what Jesus came to do. Scripture says that Yahweh is to protect you, to watch over you, to bodyguard you, to preserve you. That's the blessing. Yahweh keep you. Yahweh protect you. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Scripture says, Paul said this, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day." Whatever I've committed to him, God, Jesus Christ, is able to protect what I've committed to him. So I want to ask you a question. What have you committed to him? Have you committed your life to him? Paul committed his life to him. Paul surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean Paul never had any problems? No. If you know anything about Paul, he had all kinds of problems. But we do find that Jesus was with him through it all. He was with him through it all. But he was committed. He said, I know that whatever I've committed to him, he will protect. He will keep it until the day I see him. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will keep it. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, listen, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled. It will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Scripture says that you are protected by the power of God. You are protected by the power of God. Now, what greater power is there than the power of God? Any thoughts? There's none. There is no power greater than the power of God who keeps you. Who keeps you through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He's the one who keeps you. It's not yourself. It's the power of God. Listen to this in John 10, 27 through 29. Scripture says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord protects you. The Lord protects you. The Lord protects you. Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. We need protection, amen? You may remember the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think that's a good prayer. He's protecting us. He's protecting us. He's providing for us. Those are the blessings of the Lord. Those are the blessings of the Lord. Scripture says, Yahweh make his face shine upon you. May we find great pleasure. May he find great pleasure in you. May he find great pleasure in your company. When you come before the Lord in prayer, may he take delight when you approach his throne. Now, this next slide, there are several. Let me ask you a question. Of all of these pictures up here, which one do you think is the face one that is shining? Yeah, no doubt about it, right? No doubt about it. Scripture. So this is a blessing of the Lord. So would you say that whatever that is, it's he's very pleased? There's delight and there's pleasure in whatever it is he's experiencing. Scripture says, may the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May he just get tickled pink every time he thinks about you. He loves you. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Yahweh, be gracious unto you. Grace is the outpouring of God's riches upon you because you're his child. Not because you've earned his favor. Okay? I want you to hear that. The grace of God is God's favor upon you because you are his child, not because of anything you've done to earn that. Your favor not because of merit. God isn't dependent. The blessings of God isn't dependent upon your goodness. It's dependent upon God's goodness. We, however, hopefully are good because, not because of anything except because he's been so good to us, because of his blessings. We need God's grace upon our lives. Ephesians 2:8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's not our goodness. You may remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was having some problems again. And what was taking place was that he said that there had been an enemy, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And he said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for this to be taken away. And this is what the Lord told him. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here's the thing you need to understand, that when you go through difficulties, God wants to give you grace to go through them. He doesn't always bring you out of them. He wants to give you the grace to go through them in a wonderful way, in a powerful way, in a way that's going to bring Him glory, in a way that's going to encourage you, in a way that's going to strengthen you. The blessings of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord is the grace to go through difficult trials. That's the blessings of the Lord. Yahweh look with favor on you. How many of you were teachers' pets in school? A couple of you, a few of you. Oh, me neither. However, I did experience some favor in college. Okay? Bingo. I passed. I took my SAT scores, and that's the test you have to take before you go into college, and I think I made a whopping 13. Okay? On my SAT scores. So when I entered college, it was on academic probation. Because you may not understand this or not, but Mississippi doesn't have the greatest educational program in the United States. Okay? So anyway, I went to Mobile College, which is now Mobile University. And man, it was a tough ride for me. It was tough. So they kept me on academic probation the first semester and the second semester. But I was not doing so well in my studies. I know you think I'm really smart. Yeah. But I remember in my Western Civ class. You know, in college you have to take notes. Are you supposed to? I didn't know how to take them. And, you know, and I'd take notes, but I took the wrong ones. You know, I didn't know what was important, what wasn't important. We'd read the assignment, and somehow what I was supposed to have gleaned from that assignment, I couldn't remember dates or names or that kind of thing. And I remember going to my Western Civ instructor after I got a first report. I'm just like, oh no, this isn't so good. So I went up to him with the most pitiful facial expression I could muster. And just kind of like, man, I need help. I need help bad. And somehow he showed me favor. And he allowed me to pass that course. I know I didn't get any better at taking notes or understanding the Western Civ. I know I didn't get any better at that. Somehow he just showed me favor. It didn't earn it. He just showed me favor. You see, God wants to show us favor, even when we don't earn it. He wants to show us favor. That's the blessings of the Lord. And the last thing is that Yahweh give you peace. Yahweh give you peace. There's two aspects of peace I want to touch on. The first one is peace with God. In John 16:33, Scripture says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There's peace that we can have with God. When we receive Christ, Scripture says that we are an enemy with God until we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And when we receive Christ, then there's something about the relationship that becomes peaceful between us and God. Have you ever had a struggle in relationship? Few of you. Have you ever been able, in that struggle, has there ever come a time when you've been able to reconcile those relationships? Doesn't that just bring peace? I mean, it brings peace to your soul, brings peace to your heart, brings peace to the relationship. And Scripture says that's what happens when we come before Christ, when we come before God and we confess our sins, ask Him to forgive us, take a responsibility for our actions. There's a peace between us and God that happens, that only occurs when that relationship is mended. The Lord bring you peace. But not only the Lord bring you peace in that relationship, but also even during difficult trials, the Lord wants you to experience His peace. I'm reminded of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Now, Gideon was in a wine press, beating out wheat. You usually don't beat out wheat in a wine press. Okay? That's usually not what happens in a wine press. But the reason he was doing it in the wine press was because the Midianites was coming in and they were just taking everything. And so he was down in the wine press beating this wheat out, because if the Midianites saw him, they would be taking his wheat. Okay? And while he was in this wine press, there's an angel of the Lord came before him and said, "Oh, Gideon, mighty man of God." And Gideon's like, "Who, me?" And the angel said, "Yes, you." He said, "Man, if I was a mighty man of God, we wouldn't have all these problems with the Midianites." Okay, you look around us. There's nobody mighty in Israel. And God said, "You're the one. You're the one. And you're going to conquer the Midianites, and you're going to bring about victory for the Israelites. You're the one. You're the one." Now, all Gideon can see is the wine press. All he can see is the wheat. He's hiding from the Midianites. And he peeks over the edge, and it's a horde of Midianites. Innumerable. But this is what he says at the end, after the Lord had spoken to him. He said, when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." In verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." And then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." Named it, "The Lord is Peace." Now, he was in a very difficult situation. He was in a no-win situation. But when the Lord spoke to him, all of the other did not matter. Because not when the Lord spoke to him, there was this peace that settled in his heart. It's all good. It's all good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's all good. It's all good. I don't care what's going on around us. It's all good. It's all good. And the peace of God settled in his heart. And he built an altar there and he said, I'm naming this, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I guarantee you the Lord is peace. And he wants to bless you with his peace. Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for your blessings that you want to place upon us. Lord, you are a good, good Father. Lord, there's some who are looking at or watching through Zoom. There's some sitting here in this sanctuary who need that peace. And they need your life to rest upon them. They need those blessings to rest upon them. Lord, sometimes they're looking in the wrong place. And so, Lord, I pray that today they would look to you. And God, that you would just speak peace to their heart. Some are going through sickness. Some are going through financial difficulty. Some are going through relational difficulties. And Lord, I pray you just speak peace to their life today. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. One more thing. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are under a curse. Okay? And you cannot receive the blessings of God because you are under a curse. Jesus died to take away the curse. And so when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that curse is no longer upon your life. So if you're here today or listening through Zoom, then I want to encourage you, turn your life over to Christ so that you can be free from the curse that has been upon you from the day you were born. I'm going to open the altar. I'm not going to receive you. But if you need somebody to pray for you, find somebody in the congregation to pray for you. If you need to come to the altar and submit your life to the Lord, I'm going to just open this up for you. So.